come, Holy Spirit. Amen. We have been gifted with rich stories in our readings this morning. One way of praying with Scripture or engaging with Scripture is to ask, where do we see ourselves in these stories? With whom do we identify or relate to in these stories right now, given what is going on in our own lives? So let's explore these questions a bit this morning with our gospel reading from Matthew, thinking together about who we might relate to in this passage, and then asking, what might the text offer to us or help us understand about our relationship with God and one another in our present circumstances? So, turning now to our gospel text. Maybe some of us this morning identify with Jesus in this story. Jesus wants to go be by himself for a while, but instead he is followed by a crowd of people who need him. Now, if we read ahead a little bit in Matthew's gospel, or if we stay tuned for next Sunday, we will see that Jesus will still pursue and set aside his time to be alone in prayer. But at this moment, when he hops into his boat, hoping for some quiet time, he sees the needs of others, and he responds with compassion by healing them. This is hard. I imagine Jesus might be tired at this moment, and maybe some of us are tired too. Those of us who are caring for others in our households, adjusting to sharing space with loved ones who are normally at school or camp or work, adjusting to not being able to show up in a normal way to our workplaces, our places of recreation, our church. There are many demands on our time that feel different from the demands of life before the coronavirus. It can feel overwhelming. We want some quiet time, but maybe, like Jesus, we still have to address the needs of others. So it can be powerful to identify with Jesus in this story, to see that Jesus understands our need for quiet time with God because he wanted and needed quiet time with God too. Jesus understands the demands that are on our time because he had many demands on him. So if we are identifying with Jesus in this passage this morning, what might it be like for us to bring our needs to Jesus in prayer, knowing that he holds these things with us? What would it be like for us to ask for his help in honoring both the care we give to others and the care we give to ourselves? Again, as we'll see in next Sunday's gospel reading, Jesus does not abandon his quiet time to connect with God. He just moves it forward a little bit in his calendar. So stay tuned. Maybe some of us today are identifying with the people in the crowds who are seeking Jesus, pursuing Jesus, asking him for healing and longing to be fed by him. This is where I find myself today, is with these crowds. And the crowds of so many of us who are seeking healing and relief, whether it's from viruses or isolation or economic difficulty or fear or grief or violence or addiction, exhaustion, or unjust systems that oppress people because of their race or gender or because of who they love. If you identify with these crowds, Jesus sees you. Jesus sees us, just like he sees the crowds in this passage. He has compassion for us. He does not look away, and he does not turn us away. He is with us in these moments, bringing healing, bringing bread. Many of us long for the Eucharist, for communion, to receive the physical bread of life that Jesus blesses and breaks for us. If we are identifying with the crowds in this passage, could we pray this week by asking Jesus to be with us in our longing? Could we imagine this week in our prayer that Jesus also longs to give us the physical bread of life? That Jesus sits with us and yearns with us, that he has compassion on us and is bringing us healing, blessing and feeding us with his presence as we yearn to be present here with one another. Another group of people we might identify with in our gospel reading today are the disciples. When they see the crowds of people, they ask Jesus to send them away, and then are taken aback when he tells them to give the crowd a meal, when he says, "You give them something to eat." It seems impossible. There is so little fish and so little bread. But then Jesus blesses the food, breaks the bread, and there is enough. Maybe those of us who identify with the disciples today are feeling like Jesus is asking something of us, maybe something that feels like too much. What would it be like for us to bring that concern to our prayer this week? Maybe we think that we are not up to the task, that we do not have the tools we need, or that we ourselves are not enough. What Jesus shows his disciples and us in our gospel story is that we are enough. Jesus blesses us as we are, with what we have, while at the same time empowering us and challenging us and supporting us as he sends us out to do his kingdom work. And Jesus does not send us out alone. Just as his disciples in the story have one another, Jesus has given us one another and other disciples, a communion of saints with whom we can serve and from whom we can draw strength. One of those disciples is Representative John Lewis. May he rest in peace and rise in glory. Some of us this week have read the opinion piece that Representative Lewis wrote before his death about his hopeful witness these last months of Americans' work and protest and good trouble, as he would say, in service of the movement to dismantle systemic racism and bring about racial justice, work to which John Lewis dedicated his life. He requested that the New York Times publish the piece on the day of his funeral, which they did this past Thursday. If you haven't read it, I commend it to you. It is linked on our Grace Church Facebook page. I'd like to share a piece of what he wrote now, because in these words from John Lewis, we can hear the echo of Jesus' life and Jesus' words, and in particular, Jesus' words to us this morning. You give them something to eat. So let us listen and pray with these words of Jesus and with these Christ-like words from John Lewis. Though I may not be here with you, I urge you to answer the highest calling of your heart and stand up for what you truly believe. In my life, I have done all I can to demonstrate that the way of peace, the way of love and nonviolence, is the more excellent way. Now it is your turn to let freedom ring. When historians pick up their pens to write the story of the 21st century, let them say that it was your generation who laid down the heavy burdens of hate at last, and that peace finally triumphed over violence, aggression, and war. So I say to you, walk with the wind, brothers and sisters, and let the spirit of peace and the power of everlasting love be your guide.